Sports.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
On WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. As a reminder, coming up at 5:35, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Also at 6:20, pregame coverage with first pitch at 6:35. The Atlanta Braves, game two of this three-game series as they take on the Baltimore Orioles. But right now, a chance to talk some college football and more. Barrett Salee, our weekly visit with Barrett, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. Barrett, always a pleasure. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Johnny. Any word on the Big Ten? No? Okay.
Well, that kind of broke over the weekend that they're having the conversation. Sunday, they had like a marathon of presentations, looking at it from a health standpoint. You know, what's the biggest issue do you think that they're having debate right now, besides saving face, on moving forward at this point?
Saving face is really the only reason. They're in CYA mode. And I think it's embarrassing for them to have to go through this process knowing that really their best laid plans got blown up in their face. They thought they could lead. They didn't. They had a lack of self-awareness. And as a result, they're trying to find ways to explain away why, how 15-minute turnaround testing completely changes everything that they decided back on August 6th when even then, we knew these things were coming. And they're just trying to find a way to make that sound like a reasonable excuse to change their minds. And it's ridiculous. It's so embarrassing for that entire conference, the presidents, the leadership. It goes to show just the arrogance that has existed in that conference for so long. It really is remarkable. It goes to show you how out of touch they are.
You know, it's really strange. You know, we had the preseason rankings, and which included the conferences, Pac-12, Big Ten, not playing. But now, after the first week, you do away with them, and so only teams that you're including now, if you're talking about the AP poll or the coaches poll, are the ones that are actually playing football right now. And it's strange to look at the top 25 this week and see teams like Louisiana Lafayette, BYU, Appalachian State, Kentucky, I mean, Memphis. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's almost like you're looking at a basketball poll.
Yeah, it's truly bizarre because you saw a lot of teams that didn't even play sneak to get into the top 25, which is fine. You know, this is the way it's going to be. I think the ridiculous part was the AP releasing a poll with all 130 teams. As opposed to 76 or whatever we're at right now. So this is where it's going to be. You're going to see teams get ranked like Louisiana that haven't been ranked in a very long time, although Louisiana might deserve it after what they did on Saturday. But that's just the way it's going to be. You're going to see teams jump up and be rewarded for upset victories, and I'm here for it. I think it's going to be fun. I think having a season that is disjointed, even if there's an asterisk next to you getting ranked in the top 15 or whatever, fine with me. I'm excited that for those schools to get the recognition that really they might have deserved a long time ago, but are getting in this strange, bizarre season.
Speaking of bizarre, I mean, you know, Oklahoma, Texas took care of business as far as Big 12 teams were concerned, but there was nothing big by the performances of some of those other representatives from the Big 12 over the weekend.
No, it really goes to show that the beefy middle of the Big 12 is not, it might be a veggie burger and not Angus beef, because it's bad. It was bad. And I think the most concerning part was really in the trenches. They got whipped. All of those teams got whipped. And so I don't necessarily think it's going to have long-term effects, because like you said, Texas and Oklahoma were fine. In reality, the Big 12 champion is probably getting into the playoff regardless. And so, you know, long term, that's it's not going to make that big of an impact. But short term, it's embarrassing. And to have a guy like Matt Campbell basically quit, that's surprising. Like, that's really surprising. To have a coach like Chris Kleiman not be able to orchestrate any kind of running game when that's your identity, it does not bode well for the middle of that conference having any shot of reaching the Texas or Oklahoma level. And, you know, maybe Oklahoma State's in that mix too. We haven't seen them play, but I was stunned at how ill-prepared those – I'm not stunned about Kansas because Les Miles is a very good coach now, but I was very surprised at how ill-prepared Iowa State and Kansas State were, especially Iowa State. I expected more from Matt Campbell.
You know, for the teams that are not from the three Power 5 conferences that are playing right now, is there one team that, like, don't sleep on them? Like, is it – maybe could it be Army? Is it a Central Florida, Memphis – which team has a chance to be maybe a spoiler and who knows, maybe even find itself in the college football playoff?
You know, I think UCF probably is the easy answer, but I'm going to go with Louisiana. And the reason I say that is they've got Duke. Like, they've got really good players, especially in the trenches. Quarterback seemed like he was ready to go. They're well coached. They're tough. They're in shape, clearly. I'm going to go with Louisiana because, granted, we haven't really seen Appalachian State. They played Charlotte, they won, whatever. But, and they're the class, really, of the entire group of five over the last 5 years. They've got the best record, I believe. But I just think Louisiana has the ability to continue to do what it did on Saturday in Ames. I don't think it was an aberration. I think that defensively, they've absolutely got the bodies. They're well coached. I'm going to go with Louisiana. And part of that might just be because I think the AAC, where UCF is might be a little bit more tricky than folks realize. And UCF, especially with 10 guys gone, opting out, might not have that depth that it might need to consistently get through a gauntlet that I think is, at least by this year's standards, pretty tough.
Well, here's the thing. Appalachian State, I had Charlotte, which was supposed to kick off the season. You know, when you look at Tennessee, that was supposed to be Tennessee's opening opponent. And Will Healy, the former coach at Austin Peay, I thought he was going to have Charlotte well prepared to take on Tennessee, where the Vols, if they weren't looking ahead to Oklahoma, they may have found a situation where, similar to what we saw last year with Georgia State. So I'm going to give thumbs up to Appalachian State. Charlotte, to me, is a very tough team. A lot tougher than most people realize. And so the fact that they were able to pull away at the end and win by double digits, thumbs up right there. So I'm actually going to give them more of a benefit of the doubt than most folks will, only because they see Charlotte and they go, oh, no big deal.
Yeah, you know, I tend to agree with you. And really, I think Charlotte's one of those teams that when you look at their future, pretty fertile recruiting ground, had some success, went to a bowl last year. And moving forward, I think they can have the kind of long-term success that maybe South Florida had when it first became an FBS program, where Appalachian State, when they first became an FBS program, sort of this Georgia Southern, same thing, quick rise to be, you know, at least competitive. They did it last year, obviously with Will Healy, and I think the foundation that it's set with him in a market with a base like they have in the greater Charlotte, you know, North Carolina and then South Carolina area, I think it's definitely got a chance to be a good program.
Now, you have to go all the way back to after Tennessee lost to Alabama just past the midway point of 2016 for them to be ranked as high as they are right now, and they've not even played a game. In the AP poll, they're now in the 15th spot, moving up 10. And they were unranked in the coaches poll in the preseason, and they find themselves ranked 17th this week. It's been a while since they've been ranked this high.
Yeah, and I think in both of those polls, I believe in the AP, they were first out when they had everybody ranked. So, you know, it's not surprising they move up. That's just kind of the way, you know, things have to be. But it goes to show, I think, the respect that Jeremy Pruitt earned in year two, even though it did not start out well. The fact that you played Alabama close and then won six straight games and the defense was stout and you have a ton of experience returning, especially on offense, all those things together just sort of, I think, bode well. And I think voters, especially coaches, we all make fun of the coaches poll being the SID poll, but I actually know a lot of coaches that actually do vote in that. They respect and understand how important it was for Pruitt to overcome that adversity and how important it is this year to have the kind of experience that he has coming back. So, yeah, it's good for Tennessee, even if it's, even if it includes an asterisk, it's still really cool to see them in that top 25, a place where I think at the end of the season they were going to end up regardless, but I don't think anybody expected it to happen this soon.
What was your take as far as Georgia Tech at Florida State, both from a Georgia Tech perspective with that win? You know, they were trailing 10-0. They certainly took full advantage of the fact that the momentum was thrown out the window with the delay as far as the weather delay, but also a Florida State team, you know, showing what we've seen out of them over the past 2 years, where second half just not being able to finish ball games, and this trend continued on Saturday with Mike Norvell's group.
Yeah, I think with Georgia Tech, it was so great to see Jeff Collins get that win, because the turnaround he's got to orchestrate is going to be impossible. It's not impossible. It's just going to take a long time, especially considering the offseason that we had, him not being able to get to work with his guys. But for him to have that kind of success, it shows how well-coached that team is. Sims, their quarterback, Jeff Sims, a highly touted kid with a Florida State commit. For him to have, you know, that kind of game in his first game ever, really impressed, especially considering the two picks he threw were in the red zone. He moved them down there on those two drives, too. So the future is very bright for Georgia Tech. And I think for Florida State, the culture problem is just, it's impossible. It's just going to take a long time to fix. You know, I think it's one thing to have players who just, for whatever reason, split apart in the middle of the season, where you have an Auburn 2012 where they go, 0-8 in the SEC, or TCU the following year where they go 4-8, overall. Those are one-year things, but I think the murmuring and the frustration during Fisher's last year there really has carried over to Willie Taggart's era and now Mike Norvell. Not to say Willie Taggart didn't deserve to be fired. He did, because the organizational aspect of that program was just bonkers. But it really was derailed. And I think when you look at a team like that, a program like that, with players who are going in 85 different directions, sometimes you can turn that culture around quickly. Other times, you basically have to have all that personnel filtered through before you can successfully approach it, and I think that's what's wrong with Florida State right now. And you know, Mike Norvell, I think he's a good coach. I think he will be good for them, but he's got his work cut out. There's no doubt.
How strange is it? Speaking of Florida State, somebody that was supposed to be a major contributor to Florida State's offense this year, wide receiver DJ Matthews. He sent a weird tweet, and then he took it down that he had tested positive to COVID-19 back in August. Well, today we get the news that he is now in the transfer portal, and he would be, as a graduate transfer, he would be eligible immediately.
He would, and he wouldn't, if he didn't want to play this year, he could waste it out this year and not lose the year of eligibility because of the freebie. So, yeah, it kind of goes back to the stuff from the offseason with that whole drama with Mike Norvell, about a month and a half ago, and then the part about the George Floyd thing, you know, 2-3 months ago, whenever that was. It kind of shows that maybe Mike Norvell hasn't gotten off to the best start. Maybe he has not figured out how to win over that locker room yet. But I think clearly that's going to be more of a challenge at Florida State than it will be at other schools. So, yeah, it is interesting to say the least. And I think it shows that maybe this year, any expectation for Florida State turning around is a little aggressive, and it might take 2 or 3 years. Even though they have the talent, they've got the roster, they've got the recruiting base, you've got to find guys that can buy in. And right now it doesn't appear that Mike Norvell has a lot of those guys.
Is that a team that has some – I mean, everybody thinks about Clemson, but how far back is Florida State, not only to Clemson, but there's North Carolina? I mean, look, Georgia Tech beat them in Tallahassee. I know it's unusual circumstances, but still, Georgia Tech beat them in Tallahassee on Saturday. How far down are we talking about Florida State when you think about the other teams, North Carolina, Miami, et cetera?
Yeah, I put them below Louisville, North Carolina, obviously Clemson, Pitt. You could put them behind there. Miami, I'd probably put them behind Miami right now. It's not great.
Virginia? Heck, I put them behind Virginia as well.
I put them behind Virginia Tech. I put them behind, well, obviously Notre Dame, the one-year deal, but yeah, they're lower to middle tier in the ACC.
How strange is that? The fact that we can say that, all those teams ahead of them in the ACC, and yet in basketball, in men's basketball, we're talking about top of the list ahead of Duke and North Carolina and everybody else in the ACC.
It's bizarre, man. It is utterly bizarre that we can flip this script this much at Florida State. But, you know, I think the positive is that Florida State basketball program is good. And I do think Florida State can get back to being competitive on the football field. Again, I just think the culture was so broken that it's going to take time. And Willie Taggart was not the guy to lead that. I think we all know that based on the way he organized that program. I think Mike Norvell is, but if after the first year, if you know, he looks like Willie Taggart did after 1 year, then maybe we're wrong. But it's going to be interesting to see how it pans out.
By the way, before we let you go, Pac-12, Big Ten, what is your gut telling you as far as when they start with week one of their college football season?
I don't think Pac-12 is going to play in the fall. I really don't think it's going to play in the spring either. I just, logistically, that's not going to happen. Big Ten, I don't know. It changes like every 5 minutes with me. I think they're going to try to play on August or October, what's that Saturday, 17th or whatever it is, and try to get 8 games in. And then at that point, the college football playoffs would have to determine where their threshold is for games played to be considered. Because as much as I think Ohio State can win the national championship, you can't include them in the playoffs if they've, you know, played 6 games and had COVID, you know, contact tracing eliminate a couple. So I think they're going to play. And, man, how embarrassing just in general for that entire conference.
You know, it'd be a really cool thing. Maybe they should work it out where they play, you know, their champion plays the champion of the sixth Power Five conference team from the American Athletic. And maybe that could be some extra incentive there.
Maybe that would work. You know, that might be the case. But, you know, we have to be creative, you know, this time of year and through all these things. But it's going to be rushed. There's no doubt about it.
All right, do me a favor. Once again, remind everybody the best ways to keep up with your coverage of the college football season this year.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I'm Barrett Salee. Download the CBS Sports app. Watch CBS Sports HQ 24/7, 365 for actual college football coverage. And, it's going to be an interesting few weeks. There's no doubt.
All right, appreciate you as always. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, buddy. All right, that's Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. I mean, think about that. If you are the Big Ten, Zach, and you're only able to get, say, 7-8 games in, and you look at the quality of teams of the American Athletic Conference, you've got Central Florida, you've got Cincinnati, you've got Memphis. You know, in an unusual year like this, how about the fact that the winner, you get the champion of the Big Ten, you determine who that, whatever way you want to determine it, goes up against the winner of the American Athletic Conference, and that could be the play-in game for one of those four playoff spots.
Yeah, that's, I guess if you're a Big Ten fan, you're excited about that, but for the most part, you know, it seems very cheap.
Well, but this is unusual times call for unusual activities, and to me...
But should they have, like, the lucky opportunity, should they have the real, like, decisive game being against that kind of conference to get in?
But here's the thing. Ohio State, honestly, in the preseason, they were probably one of the teams best equipped. When you think about it, they're like Clemson. You know, there was a team that you could automatically feel like you could pencil in as far as the one of the four playoff spots. And so if you're not able to get in your 10 or so games, I don't think it's fair that you immediately write them in if they've only played, say, 7 or 8 games. And so instead of, you know, the Big Ten champion getting one of the four playoff spots, how about the fact, okay, to get there, you have to beat the champion of the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, there you go.
Or the other way around. Look at the opportunity that would present for them, because then here's a Central Florida or a Cincinnati or even a Memphis as well. Because all three of those teams, by the way, I just threw out there, This week, Central Florida is ranked 13th, Cincinnati 14th, Memphis 15th. So if you've got like an unbeaten team from the American Athletic Conference, you know, why not let that be, especially the fact that if you have fewer games from the Big Ten, you're not able to get them all in. Why not have a little matchup like that to be a play-in game?
Seems lucky for them, just the way that they've done their season so far and created this situation that they're kind of benefiting off of it a little bit, not having to play as stringent as they could have played.
Well, see here, once again, you know, right now it's easy to say that, but what happens if all of a sudden we go south with the COVID-19 numbers over the next 2 weeks?
Well, then everybody's screwed. Right. So, well, you know what I mean?
Good point. All right, 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. The police have a car up against the wall here on 24 westbound at Harding Place. They're in a tricky spot. The heaviest flow is going eastbound. Back out towards Murfreesboro, there's been a wreck with injuries in Midtown. Avoid 26th Avenue at Charlotte Ave on that crash. It's really picked up the last few minutes, even more so on Vietnam Vets headed through Hendersonville. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Prince's Hot Chicken online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Want to talk to you about the folks at Doobie Orthopedics, and I know that you're going to sit there and go, Plaz, what do you know about that? And the truth of it is, not much. Until about a year ago, right about now, I ended up with some really bad shoulder and neck problems, and I had no idea where to turn. A friend of mine suggested Doobie Orthopedics, and you know what? That friend was dead on right. I find out now they've got over 30,000 customers. There's a reason for that. They are really good at what they do. I ended up choosing the Hermitage location, but they have locations all over town. Frist Boulevard was where I was, with a phone number of 391-4545. I got the individual one-on-one attention that I needed. They set up a plan, and you know what? The plan worked to perfection. I highly recommend Doobie Orthopedics.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Brad Keselowski took home the win from Richmond. Up next, more short track action from Bristol Motor Speedway, the final race in this round of the playoffs. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, I'm Brad Keselowski, and I get my NASCAR news on the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And like us at facebook.com/thefinallap. We'd appreciate it. Every single weekday right here.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
All Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. We'll be with you tonight until 6. Don't forget, 6:20 pregame coverage with the first pitch at 6:35. The Atlanta Braves taking on the Baltimore Orioles. As far as tonight in the NBA, we've got a game 7 as far as, you know, in looking at this action tonight. And it'll be between the Clippers and the Denver Nuggets. Winner, you move on. It could be a battle of L.A. coming up on Friday. Or it could be Denver taking on the Lakers coming up on Friday. But a game 7, that's the second game tonight. That starts the tip just after 8. First game will be game 1 of the East Finals between Boston and the Miami Heat. Miami Heat, certainly one of the surprise teams the way they have played. So they start things off on the road, tip right around 5:40. Game 1, once again, of the Eastern Conference Finals. But the game 7 to determine who plays the Lakers going to be played in Los Angeles between the Clippers and Denver.
Oh man, I bet you the NBA is wishing so bad they weren't in the bubble. They just want to be like, hey, we'll just do it in LA.
How about the fact Denver, by the way, what this could be the second, you know, back to back series they trailed 3-1. They won the last series, and now this one they trailed 3-1, and now they evened it up, and now they have the opportunity to win back-to-back series after trailing 3-1. We've seen so many unusual things in the bubble this year.
The Joker has been playing fantastic basketball throughout this series, really just throughout the bubble as a whole. But, I mean, to even compete with this Clippers team is surprising in my book. But, you know, I think, actually, if you look at the way these matchups set up, too, the Clippers match up better, or sorry, the Nuggets match up better to the Lakers than the Clippers do. So, I mean, if you're a Lakers fan, you're kind of hoping that the Clippers find a way around this.
It's still strange for me to be talking, you know, we're on the verge of the NBA Finals coming up later this month. I'm just not quite there yet. Actually, it'll be, what, October? Well, before we get to that point? Possibility?
No, I think it'll be right before. I don't think it'll fall into October.
So the last week or last couple of days of September? Either way, it still seems...
Maybe it might get
It's almost like preseason as far as the NBA season before it tips off in the month of October.
I don't know. I think I'm there. You know, it's happening. If it's a regular NBA season, I don't really watch all the way up. I don't watch until the finals for the most part. Really, the conference finals is right where I kind of pick up watching basketball anyway.
Well, and see, that's the thing, though. I'm fine with that, as long as you're talking about in June or, you know, or in May to leading into June. But right now, it just seems bizarre with NFL and college football going on.
High school football, too.
And high school football as well.
Got all kinds of things that keeping people away.
All right, as far as the Braves, yeah, let's just put the game last night. I was watching the Pittsburgh and Giants game 1 of the 2 Monday night contests. And by the way, I thought, boy, what a difference in announcing with Kirk Herbstreit and along with Chris Fowler.
They did great.
They were outstanding.
Levy and that group, I like Riddick, but Levy is not a play-by-play guy. He is a highlight reel, post-game kind of guy.
Did you like the combination with Levy and Brian Griese?
No.
I didn't either.
Mainly because he's such a Cowboys, Broncos fan. You know, it's such a homer for him.
Well, he lives there.
Exactly. So it just that felt weird, but it seems like this is very much a bridge team that's just like, all right, we'll get... I still go back. They should have kept Joe Testor. Joe Testor was amazing at what he did. He just unfortunately had booger with him.
And how well prepared. I mean, think about it. Kirk Herbstreit, this is not his normal thing. Look how well prepared he was.
And, you know, I'm not surprised they did so well because that's your national championship. You know, that's your national championship broadcast team. So
Who's better? Is it Tony Romo now or Kirk Herbstreit as far as whether you're talking about NFL, college football, whatever, best football analyst?
Oh, so I'm going Romo.
Just because
Kirk could not predict plays the way that Romo's predicting plays, the way he's seeing the game to actually, because the color analyst should be that guy to say this is what's happening in the X's and O's, and then deliver it in a proper way. And nobody does that better than Romo.
But I like listening to Kirk.
Yeah, Kirk's
better
good too.
Than Romo.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you're talking 1 and 2 here.
Because if a game is, I'll put it this way: if a game's a blowout, or you know, one team has a 3-touchdown lead or whatever, who are you wanting to listen to? Tony Romo or Kirk Herbstreit?
Still Romo for me. The way he presents it is so perfect, and then his just Nostradamus kind of guessing everything right before. It's amazing.
I like the fact that when he started getting accolades for that and people were writing columns and giving him compliments about that, then others tried to do that and they failed.
Ooh,
so
terribly.
They failed so miserably.
And you know why? Because most of them don't have the illustrious career and the playing career that he had.
At that point, I think they were just guessing.
Right.
You know, they'd be like, you know, Jim Bob down in somewhere in the middle of Alabama all of a sudden say, hey, they're going to run right now.
Right.
Now they're going to pass. This is going to be a screen.
Well, Romo was able to do it, which I didn't actually even hear. What game did he call this week? Did they call a game? I'm not sure if they did.
I don't recall, actually.
I don't remember hearing him anywhere. But, yeah, they are. I know they're doing it, though, because they're paying him a hefty sum, $17 million for the year to go out there and call those games. So
maybe that was one of the games that we did not have this weekend.
Maybe. But
that's where the problem was.
Poor Joe Burrow. Probably that was that game. He was just bored.
He would not have put him on a Joe Burrow game.
I hope not.
No,
I hope
you draft the Joe Burrow as the number one overall pick, you're still Cincinnati.
Still Cincinnati and the Chargers.
Still at the bottom five of the group.
A yucky game.
Yes. All right. Coming up, we'll talk a little Tennessee Titans. How about some Vols? Vandy as well. Teresa Walker with the Associated Press in Nashville will join us on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. The police still handling this call on 24 westbound at Harding Place. They're up against the wall. It's been pretty heavy the last few minutes out here on 65 southbound down into Brentwood through Williamson County, 1300 block Antioch Pike. They're still over there working that accident. Murfreesboro Pike at Hickory Woods Drive was still blocked as of a few minutes ago from that wreck. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken. They're online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 of pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-204-0145 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-204-0145 to take your call now. Call 800-204-0145. That's 800-201-0145. Again, 800-204-0145.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. 800-648-9175. That's 800-648-9175.
This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. Relive all the action with full game replays.
We're doing it again.
Catch every snap in just 45 minutes with condensed games.
Caught for the touchdown.
Learn from the pros with film sessions.
Once she in that red zone, it's a chest match.
And get access to the NFL Films Archive. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, with a high near 84 with an east wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 67. And Wednesday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 83. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Friendly reminder, don't forget, 6:20 for the pregame coverage. First pitch at 6:35, game two of this three-game series between the Atlanta Braves and the Baltimore Orioles. The Braves beginning action tonight, 2.5 games up on Miami as far as the National League East is concerned. Right now, chance to talk Titans, college football, and more. Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. And Teresa, 1 week out of the way, and now we move forward to week two, but your thoughts last night, as far as if I told you, if you did not watch the game, and I had said that the Titans won that game 27-14, you would have taken that and moved forward, correct?
Yes, that would have been a strong performance. I actually predicted yesterday morning with Greg Pogue on his show with Jonathan Burton, I took a score 30-17. So that would have been really close to what I predicted. And in a road game in a place where I don't think they'd won there since the 80s, that would have been a game that you take and you put in your pocket, playing that mile high with no preseason, take it, run with it, and be very, very happy.
Now, with that said, speaking of putting things in the pocket, you know, the individuals that were probably upset the most, if you were Titans fans, were the ones that had the Titans minus the 2.5, because you would have ended up losing that bet last night.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I can't imagine I was the only person who was watching that game having flashbacks to the Buffalo game last year when, you know, Cairo Santos had a field goal blocked and missed three others. So, yeah, that was just – and then, you know, the sugar, or maybe, you know, I'm trying to think, maybe the sour jalapeno or something on top of that, you know, awful performance was the mixed extra point. You know, Next Gen Stats came up, said that it was like 1 in 1,804 chances that you'd have, you know, that many misses in a game. So, you know, including one extra point. So that was just a performance that was a little stunning. That was the kind of the, and then he comes back and he manages to make the chip shot, you know, 25 yarder. Yes, that's one any NFL pro kicker should make, but on the night like last night, and having seen what we'd seen last year with the NFL's worst field goal unit, 8 of 18. I shared that number with my colleague in Denver, and he goes, was that just from 40 to 49 yards? And I'm like, no, that was the whole season, 8 of 18. That's how bad it was last year. So, you know, that's the thing. They pulled out the win, and that's the thing that matters most, Johnny. That's what I think helps delineate and separate this team from last year. A year ago, they not only would have, they did lose this kind of game.
You know, we go back and we think about the misses, especially, you know, from a special teams perspective. And, you know, what does that mean moving forward now as far as the kicking game for the Titans?
Stay tuned and, you know, stay on the edge of your seat. Now, you know, I asked Mike Vrabel about it right after the game last night, and again, you know, to kick off his availability with us this afternoon. And, you know, that's the thing. We're going to be watching this closely. I can't imagine we're watching it any closer than Craig Aukerman, the special teams coordinator, Goskowski himself, and, you know, John Robinson and some of the other, you know, front office personnel over these next few days, because we're going into Sunday, a game against the Jaguars, a team that they have handled fairly well the last 2 years in Nashville. But you want to see, can he, you know, Guskowski's got enough experience. He's been in this league long enough, you know, 14 years. You know, he's a four-time Pro Bowler, three-time Super Bowl champion. You know, fifth-ranked kicker in NFL history coming into the Titans. So that kind of experience gives them at least a track record that, you know, you would expect him. He had the distance. That wasn't a problem. He's made high-pressure kicks for, you know, in his career. So give him a few days, see if he can adjust. You know, he took the sock off before he made the game winner last night. Maybe that was it. You know, he said he spent the summer kicking without a sock. Maybe that was the thing that, you know, he just needed to get back into a comfort zone. You know, he thought maybe he was rushing some things after the first miss that he didn't think was that far off. So, you know, a little practice, no sock, you know, maybe he gets back into that rhythm and works off the last of the rust in a year that has been truly like no other.
Last night, and certainly a lot of this from a rating standpoint had to do with the fact that the game kicked off in the 9 o'clock hour, but the combined rating on ESPN and Fox 17, 18.4, which was a 43 share during that time frame. In fact, it was still well over 15 at 12:15 in the morning this morning. Now, this will not be a part of the top five as far as this week. It'll be included in next week. But when you look at the ratings as far as, you know, what we saw in week one as far as local sporting events, NFL did quite well. You know, the Saints and Tampa Bay of 15.6, Dallas and the Rams in that contest Sunday night of 15.2, and then on Thursday night with Kansas City and the Houston Texans, the 13.1 there. In fact, all five, not really an accident here, the five most watched sporting events last week, all NFL games, with the Seahawks and the Falcons bringing up the rear in the fifth spot with a 7.0 rating.
Well, that's the thing. I think we're kind of starved for new content. You know, the networks, Johnny, it's September, but because of this pandemic year, they're not going to have new programming, I think, until November. You know, there's some shows that have been leaking out and being posted because they were shot and edited, you know, before March got, you know, hit us in the face. But, you know, it's new content. And it's the NFL, which it still reigns supreme. I mean, you know, the Thursday night ratings, you know, they came in, that actually got ended up, you know, people were like, ooh, that was a huge drop, 11%. No. Once they got the final ratings in over the weekend, it ended up being like a 5% drop. And when you look at how, you know, all the different avenues of streaming, et cetera, to get, you know, games these days, actually a really good number in the best sense of, you know, what was it, the Super Bowl? So, you know, there's still a ratings draw. And, you know, yeah, I can't have been the only person who had a hard time staying awake last night. Now, once the kicks started missing, then I kind of woke up at that point. And, you know, it's like, what? Are we doing this again? And so that kind of had me revived for the rest of the night. But getting the kickoff was a serious struggle.
Yeah, the struggle for me, as I jokingly said, it kind of reminded me of the Jeff Fisher era of the Titans, you know, starting before 2003, when you would see a lot of 13-10 games, 17-14, et cetera, where you would play for that game-winning field goal with Al Del Greco. But, you know, somewhere between halftime and the fourth quarter, there would certainly be time for a nap in between as well. And that was kind of like the feeling I had last night holding on in the third quarter. Luckily, I was doing the DVR thing, so I was able to catch up for that 5 or 10 minutes that my eyes did kind of close on me.
Oh, completely. And, you know, and think about this. Will Compton just tweeted, you know, they got home at 6:30 a.m. this morning.
Wow.
So, yeah. I mean, I didn't get to bed till 2:30, and I didn't have to take a plane ride home to get to my bed. So, you know, that's the thing. This is a tough rebound kind of day if you're a Titan. And, you know, as tired as we are, at least we didn't have to travel home after that. And it's easier to travel and wake up this morning if you're a Titan or a fan. Because why? Duskowski made that last kick and they got the win.
Do you feel like that because of the issues with the kicking game, that probably one of the biggest lead stories got buried, and that was with Sean Evans because of you know, lack of composure, getting himself kicked out of the ball game in the first half? I mean, he is your Ryan Tannehill of your defense, the signal caller, calling all the defensive plays. That was a huge loss to take him out of that defensive unit, and that could have certainly proved very ill-advised if that game had played out in a different way in the end of the contest.
Oh, completely. But guess what? Mike Vrabel now has a talking point for the rest of the year. You know, he's made it clear on the practice field. If you fight on the practice field, you head to the locker room. You're out, just because that's what would happen in a game. And now he's got an example, unfortunately. And luckily enough, his teammates helped pick up Rashawn Evans. So, you know, that's not something we've seen out of him. I think, actually, if I remember the stat from TV, they said he'd been, like, penalized 4 times
right.
In his first 2 seasons. So, you know, this is not something we've seen out of him. You know, that whole play to the echo of the whistle, well, just don't, when you're locked up with somebody pushing, shoving, blocking, don't swing the arm. It's obvious. It's, you know, 9 times out of 10, and with your kind of luck, just take the assumption that they're going to see it, they're going to call you. And now those kind of plays get reviewed by New York, and when you're the only game on, you're going to go to the locker room. It's that simple. And, you know, his teammates, including Will Compton, who got a lot of snaps off the bench, are going to be the ones who, you know, make you, you know, have to pick you up. And, you know, that's the thing. If this had been a loss, it would have been, you know, even with Gostkowski's struggle, in a loss, it would have been much easier to focus on that.
Hey, speaking of which, you know, playing until the whistle blows, have you noticed this? I picked this up on Sunday and even last night, where the officials are waiting a little bit too long to blow the whistle to end these plays. And even the players know the play is over with, and then they finally decide to blow it because they haven't heard it, and they start to try to keep on with more action. It just seems like everybody was on week one, including the officials, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and unlike normal years, officials, you know, sometimes will go work, some of these, especially when you've got two teams doing joint practices, sometimes you'll get some officials in there and they'll,
right,
they'll start working, knocking off the rust, too. They didn't have that this year either. So, you know, and that's what I'm curious about, is how quickly does this start cleaning up so that we get to a point where things are in much better shape and everybody is a lot more toward, you know, mid-season form. And at that point, we'll just be yelling, why did they throw that flag, as opposed to, you know, boy, don't they look a little slow and a beat late.
All right, we have the college football season kicking off for the SEC coming up a week from Saturday. First of all, your thoughts about Vanderbilt. They'll be on the road against Texas A&M. A team that certainly feels like they have everything at their disposal to even win the West. How tough is it going to be for Vanderbilt? You know, I think the biggest concern for me is the depth issue as far as the offensive line.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's been so many people opt out, and that's been the position that's been hit the most over there. Plus, you're going to have a brand new starter quarterback, you know, who, you know, and they may not even tell us that next week. You know, that may be one of those game time decisions, because they, you know, to make sure they get whatever competitive advantage they've got. Although, when you don't have film really on any of those four, you know, including the two junior college transfers, I don't know how much that would help, you know, Texas A&M game plan. But A&M is, what, ranked 13th, and Vanderbilt, you know, no offense to the Commodores and Derek Mason, but there are a lot of folks looking at them playing an SEC-only schedule and thinking that 0-10 is a possibility. And, you know, the Vanderbilt has not seen even as little as a one-win season since the early 90s. So this is going to be an interesting challenge for the Commodores.
Speaking of challenges, Tennessee will start their season against South Carolina. The offensive line, you know, to me is still the thing where the difference with Cade Mays and not having Cade Mays could be the difference of a very happy fan base for the Vols this year, and one that's like, you know, as far as maybe 500 or slightly above 500.
Well, I'll say this. Trey Smith spoke to reporters today via Zoom, and he had a really great comment that, you know, it kind of used asinine. I mean, you know, this is a year where they're getting an extra year. This year doesn't count. So
right,
why are transfers not being approved? It makes no sense. And then you add in the fact that, oh, yeah, his parents are suing the University of Georgia, where he had been at school, because of an incident where dad lost part of a finger when it got caught in an event on campus in a chair. I mean, it's like, you know, we've seen transfers granted. We're seeing transfers granted for basketball players, and that season may not start until the end of November. So the fact that, you know, we're this close to an SEC schedule and, you know, they're still waiting on a decision on Cade Mays, his appeal, it just doesn't make much sense. I'm not sure why it's being either slow-walked or ignored. This seems to be a fairly easy decision, in this year especially, but in any year normally.
Absolutely. Hey, Teresa, it's always fun talking football and more with you. Remind the listeners again, like we always like for you to do, especially being a Hall of Famer and three-time Sports Writer of the Year, let them know how they can keep up with all your coverage on a weekly basis.
Like my page on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, do both of those at Teresa M. Walker.
All right, Teresa, have a great night. We'll talk soon, but until then, stay safe.
Thank you, Johnny.
All right, that's Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. As a friendly reminder, don't forget, you know, as now that we're in football season, if you're planning on drinking this week, the bottom line is don't get behind the wheel. Designated drivers are the real MVP. So if you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Well, good afternoon. The police still handling this call on 24 westbound at Harding Place. They're up against a wall. It's been pretty heavy the last few minutes out here on 65 southbound down into Brentwood through Williamson County, 1300 block Antioch Pike. They're still over there working that accident. Murfreesboro Pike at Hickory Woods Drive was still blocked as of a few minutes ago from that wreck. Hey, check out the new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. They're online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
With football season approaching, oftentimes I give, quote, gifts to the people. And among the many of you who are not big fans of that segment is my buddy and former BGA classmate, James Warren, who runs Sir Speedy. James, talk to me.
So, George, I've learned if I want to quit losing money, I quit listening to the gifts for the people.
Thank you.
There's no better way to say that. But if you do want a sure bet, come to Sir Speedy Music City for your print, your sign, all your mailing services. You'll always win.
And so while you're not a big fan of gifts to the people, you think there are some sure bets out there. So give people some particulars.
Without a doubt, you can get us at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. Our phone is 615-832-9511 or print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
And by the way, in spite of the lack of support, there will be gifts to the people in the near future.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today. Ryan Callahan, he covers the Vols in the SEC for GoVols247.com. Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. And Teresa Walker.